Good morning, everyone. We're in Psalm 100 real quick, just to kind of open us up. Then I'll turn it over for devotion. We have a song we sing to this Psalm 100. And it's a psalm, obviously, of thanksgiving. All five verses. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations.
Jesus Christ is King. Hear a word from the King this morning. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for bringing us together. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word that reveals to us the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray this morning, Lord, that he might be lifted up, that he might be glorified, Father, as we look into your holy word. I thank you, Father, for this awesome privilege to handle the word of life before your people. I pray, Father, that you would give us all attentive ears. And I pray, Father, you would keep me faithful to your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A garden conversation. It was a private conversation. Have you ever really thought about how private conversations have shaped world history? You know, think about private conversations. We have them. Things happen. Things result. People think that they're completely private, that nobody hears them. And foolishly, men even think that God doesn't hear them. They think they're so private, so confidential and secret that God doesn't hear them. This was a private conversation that Satan had with Eve in the garden. God heard it. And this was the result. God is omniscient. He hears all things. He sees all things. He knows all things. And how foolish we are as men to think that we could keep something from the Almighty Creator. So again, have you ever really given it some thought about how private conversations have shaped world history? For example, the secret talks between, say, FDR and Churchill before World War II. Look at the results and the consequences there. Look how many lives were affected by those so-called secret talks. The nations nations, half of Eastern Europe, eventually, when they had more secret conversations with Joseph Stalin, resulted in nations being plunged into communism because of so-called private conversations. Look back at this private conversation that took place in the Garden of Eden. And more than just nations, but the entire world was plunged into sin. Genesis 3:15, it's the beginning of world history. Nothing before or since has happened by chance. Nothing. Nothing. Everything that has happened since Genesis 3:15 has its roots right here in Genesis 3:15 and the sovereign control of God over all of history. He controls all things. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15 tells us how to view history. See, the world thinks history is about man. They think that history is about mankind, about human development, the progress that man makes, human evolution, societal evolution. It's all about man, humanism. Man is the measure. The world thinks everything is about man. Genesis 3:15 tells us how to view history. Do we believe that the world is in darkness? Do we believe the whole world lieth in wickedness? Do we believe the whole earth is deceived? Do we believe except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? The Bible says these things are so. Do we believe it? The world has been in a state of war ever since Genesis 3:15. And take note and look and see who initiated the warfare. Genesis 3:15, God said, I will put enmity. God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Now, who is the seed of the woman? And emphasis is on the seed of the woman. Why that? It obviously, right there, there's a clue. Right here in Genesis 3:15, that this is speaking of a unique birth. We know now, ultimately, we know it's Jesus Christ, not the seed of the man. Right? It was a unique birth. We learned this as this written revelation progresses. We learn it even relatively quickly in Genesis still, later on in Genesis 15. We learn that Abram was promised a seed. And then we learn later in the New Testament that promised seed was Christ, a man born of woman, a unique birth. Paul tells us that in Galatians 3:16, says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The dominion mandate is the context for the enmity between the devil and the church and between the devil and Jesus. You see, the devil also has a seed. We see that in Genesis 3:15. And who might that be? Jesus gives us a clue in John 8:44. He says to some unbelievers, "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. This is from the beginning. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. The devil had a power. It was death. And the devil's tried to use that power over time throughout history to persecute the church, to persecute the woman and her seed. All the conflicts, all of them, all the conflicts and wars ever fought have been because of this enmity right here in Genesis 3:15. The world sees it from a totally different perspective. The world sees men fighting men for worldly gain. The world sees it as men fighting men for worldly empires. The Bible teaches us that all of this history is a result or the consequences of the enmity God initiated in the garden. And it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. From Genesis 3:15, again, we learn there are only two sides. Neutrality is a myth. There are only two sides. There's no middle ground. There's nobody who can just sit back and watch. Jesus makes that clear in Matthew 12:30 when he said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." He that is not with me is against me. And we heard that last week when John went through Psalm 2. What do men do? They rage and vainly imagine, foolishly think that they can fight God, that they can throw off his reign, that they don't need him. But the good news, Genesis 3:15, the good news is that Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, bruised the head of the serpent. Writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 2, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." You see, Genesis 3:15 is called the Proto-Evangelium. Theologians, I don't know why they like to use Latin. It just means the first gospel. Genesis 3:15. It's the first gospel message in the scriptures. Some people say that it's the first promise recorded in Scripture. That if that's the case, you think about how central the gospel is to the whole theme of the Scriptures. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his person, his work, central. I mean, this shouldn't surprise us. That's what he told the Emmaus Road disciples, right? When he talked to them and explained and expounded the Scriptures and said, they all point to him. They all point to me, Christ said. Ever since Genesis, I mean, it's always been about him. You see, the gospel is all about Jesus Christ, the God-man. The gospel is about his person and work. His person and his work. And it was a supernatural work of defeating Satan. No man was going to do that. It's a supernatural work. It was a special birth, a unique birth, born of a woman. He lived a perfect and holy life without sin for 33 years, a life you and I couldn't live for 33 seconds. Was betrayed, crucified, died, was buried, but he rose again on the third day. Victory. Ascended to heaven and is given all authority in heaven and earth. The gospel is about the person and work of Jesus Christ. I hate to pop your bubble, but the gospel is not about you. The gospel is not about sinners. Yes, we do preach the gospel to sinners, of course, but it does not concern them. Not the gospel message, not the gospel. Paul tells us in Romans 1 that the gospel concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ. He says that in Romans 9. My prayer, my hope, my desire this morning is that God would give us faith to believe the Bible. Do we believe? Do we believe the world is in darkness? Well, did not Jesus come into this world as the light of the world? Because the world's in darkness. He's the true light. Do we believe that the whole world lieth in wickedness? Those private conversations that Churchill and Roosevelt and Stalin had plunged entire nations into communism. That private conversation between Satan and Eve resulted in the whole world lying in wickedness. Do we believe that? Do we believe the whole earth is deceived? This is what the scripture says in Revelation 12:9. Do we believe it? Or do we think, well, maybe it's just a few, or yeah, there's always some good ones out there somewhere, and there's some righteous people here, some noble people here. I think Paul said something like, no, not one, none good, none that seeketh after God. Do we believe, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. This is why the world can't see this. This is why the world can't see history the way we can see history. In the end, it doesn't matter whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump in the White House. It doesn't matter if it's Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar. It could be a Solomon or a Nero. The whole world might be conquered by the Chinese communists or the ancient Babylonians. in the end, it's all the same, because Psalm 2 reminds us that all the kings and rulers of the earth are against God. Who crucified him? It wasn't two thieves that crucified him. It was two thieves that were crucified alongside of him. They didn't do it. It was the rulers, the kings of the day. Genesis 3:15 is an early warning sign. Genesis 3:15 alerts us to the fact that everything is about Christ. Everything. See, we use that phrase. We're almost to the point where sometimes it becomes a cliche. It's all about Jesus. Yeah. During the early 70s of the Jesus People Revolution, Jesus People Movement, and so on, you know, it was the answer, right? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Genesis 3:15 makes that a reality. Do we really believe it? It's all about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Messiah, the one who gives us life. Everything is about his person and work. I mean, who is he after all? He's the promised seed of the woman. He's the Son of God who took on flesh. It's his person. What did he do? He bruised the head of the serpent. He crushed the head of the great red dragon of Revelation 12. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. This is our King. This is our Lord. Genesis 3:15 tells us of Jesus Christ, the one we worship, the one who's worthy, the one who is true and holy, the one who saved us, the one who keeps his promises. He does not break his oath as men do throughout history in their private conversations. Jesus Christ says, ask. Ask, and you shall receive. The reason you don't have is because you don't ask. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus Christ says, come. Come unto me, and I will in no wise cast you out. These are great words of encouragement and love. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was in glory, and he willingly took on flesh to be born of a woman, and again, we like to think it's because of us. He did this for his Father's glory, his Father's work, the creation, to save the creation. For the glory of God. For his own glory. We benefit from it. Look at the demonstration of love. That's what the scriptures call it. The scripture says, but God commendeth his love toward us. Other versions say God demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, we were in the world rejecting him, raising our fist. Those heathen that think vain things and vain imaginations, foolish thoughts that they don't need God, that they can live their own life, they can do what they want. See, now in the 21st century, we have arrived. We're so much better. We're so much more intellectually evolved, if you will. That's the way the world would look at it. Look at our technology. Look at all the things that we've got. We don't need God. Foolishly, this is what men think. And do you honestly think that God did not know that we would think such stupid thoughts? And yet, in his love, he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were stupidly thinking these vain imaginations, sinning against him, Christ Jesus died for us. Christ Jesus, born of a woman, the seed of the woman. And he crushed the head of the serpent. He crushed that serpent, that dragon, Satan. Friends, that's good news. That's good news. I like to say on the street that the gospel message is the ultimate message of love. There is no hate speech in the gospel. And everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They all know that. But I try to remind them I wouldn't be a good neighbor to them. We talk about loving our neighbor right now. I wouldn't be a good neighbor to them if I failed to give them the same warning that Jesus Christ gave to Nicodemus in that very same verse in John 3:16. If you don't believe, you should perish. I don't want anyone here to perish. I don't want anyone here to go to hell. But there's only one way of escape. It's to the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ is the one who bruised the head of Satan. Because of Jesus Christ, we live. Amen.